RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. President Joko Widodo and President Erdogan sign trade deal. House approved names for commissioners of Indonesian Financial Service Authority. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the governments of Indonesia and Turkey have agreed on a trade deal. It includes fewer trade barriers and creations of conducive investment climate. President Joko Widodo said in a written statement received on Thursday, July 6, that both countries have agreed to bring positive trends in trade and investments, including through negotiations of Indonesia-Turkey Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or ITCPA. The agreement was reached in a bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and Turkey's Recep Tayyip Erdogan at Turkey's presidential palace. President Joko Widodo and President Erdogan discussed potential deals between the two countries, namely in trade and investment, defense, energy, and counterterrorism. Plenary sessions of Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, approved seven names of four chairmen and members of Indonesian Financial Service Authority, OJK, in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 6. House Deputy Speaker Taufik Kurniawan approved the names after obtaining the approval of members of the plenary session. In his report, the Deputy Chairman of House Commission 11, Suprayitno, submitted the result of the fit and proper test conducted by the Commission. He said that the test has been conducted on June 5. There were 14 test participants before the Commission came up with seven names for chairmen and members of the Indonesian Financial Service Authority for 2017-2022 period.
Kota Dewan Komisioner Otoritas Jasa Keuangan periode 2017-2022 sebagai berikut. Satu, saudara
member of Indonesian Financial Service Authority for 2017-2022 period are Wimbo Santoso as chairman, Nur Haida, Tirta Segara, Riswinandi, Heru Kristiana, Hussein, and Ahmad Hidayat are as members. The results of the fit and proper test of Indonesian Financial Service Authority for 2017-2022 will be reported to President Joko Widodo for inauguration. Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sport has finished running selections of the flag hoisting team to serve during the Independence Day on August 17, 2017. The ministry has come up with 68 names of team members from 34 provinces across Indonesia. Those 68 names will join education and training in Cibubur, East Jakarta from July 25 to August 25, 2017. Deputy for Youth Development of the Ministry, Johnny Mardisa, said in Jakarta on Thursday, said that this year the ministry will only receive pairs of participants from each province compared to last year with two pairs of participants.
Tahun ini kita menerima bersih dari
This year, we received from province, the province only sent one pair of men and women in accordance with the set criteria. Johnny further said that the Ministry of Youth and Sport has also instructed provincial governments to prepare backup participants if the selected participants are not able to perform tasks for some reasons. The 68th flag hosting team member will join education and training that will be provided by the Indonesian Armed Forces TNI. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono said on Thursday that the relocations of the Indonesian capital city might need 4 or 5 years to prepare, particularly to constructions of city infrastructure. He also said that the water drainage, transportation, roads, tram, railway, and MRT or mass rapid transit must be prepared. He added that it's not easy because the ministries in Jakarta employs 900,000 people. They also need to prepare to relocate them. He said that his ministry had not done any micro planning for the relocation, although it has done a literature study on other countries which had separated business centers from governmental centers like Washington, D.C. in the United States. If the plan is carried out, he said that his ministry would be tasked with preparing the infrastructure for the new capital city. However, he said that his ministry would wait for the study by the National Development Planning Board, BAPENAS, on the possibility for capital city relocation. The export value of North Sumatra's fatty products as well as animal and vegetable oils rose to $1,563 million, or an increase of 35.47% as per May 2017. Head of the North Sumatra Statistics Office, Sheikh Suhaimi, stated in Medan, North Sumatra on Thursday, July 6, that the increase of foreign exchange generated from the exports of animal and vegetable oils and fat products was triggered by the rise in the price and demand volume of the commodity. During the corresponding January-May period last year, the export value of animal and vegetable oils, including crude palm oil, had only reached $1,153 million. With such values of foreign exchange being generated, animal and vegetable fat products are still on top of the list of the largest foreign exchange contributors to North Sumatra at 40.61%. Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika has supported the development plan of post-harvest paddy in a modern way by using Satake Japan technology to process grain. He said in Denpasar on Thursday, July 6, that the farmers' harvest price of paddy grains has been very drastically declining despite the grain price being set is at minimum now. The Satake technology application is expected to help maintain the stability of grain prices and increase the income of farmers. Meanwhile, Satake Company's director Soichi Tanaka stated that the technology machine used in processing grain has a capacity to dry up wet rice of up to 150 tons per day. The dried grain can also be stored for 6 to 8 months using the technology. Thus, it can prevent overstocking of unhealed grains that causes price declination. Tanaka added that the processing of grain using Satake produces unbroken rice with a possibility of only 10 to 15% damage. That is far different from the ones produced by the traditional system that produces only 60% from rice from dry paddy with large quantity of broken rice grains. The last items, Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry in charge of infrastructure development has slashed 517.7 billion rupiah from the total of 104.69 trillion in the original 2017 state budget. The move came after President Joko Widodo issued Presidential Instruction No. 4/2017 on efficiency, requiring ministries and other government institutions to cut their spending, particularly for less urgent projects. Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said on Thursday, July 6, that the only Directorate General under the ministry spared from the cuts is Bina Marga, because it needs to build the infrastructure for Asian Games in 2018 in Palembang, as well as for the World Bank meeting in Bali. He said the cuts would mostly come from funds allocated in the state budget for goods procurement, work, trips, meetings, honorarium, operational costs of offices and vehicle. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Ninu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again in our program commentary. The topic of today's commentary is Qatar's conflict persists. The conflict between Saudi Arabia and Qatar needs further to resolve. Although there is an option through dialogue, Saudi Arabia still insists on imposing sanctions on Qatar. The concrete step in the near future is by holding a meeting of Saudi Arabia and its three allies. Foreign Minister of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Bahrain, and United Arab Emirates will hold the meeting in Cairo this week. Preparing the meeting to the Gulf state has shared a common statement that regrets Qatar's negative response to their demands. The talks of four Gulf countries in Cairo in the near future will take place. After 1 month, they jointly broke off the diplomatic ties with Qatar. They view that Qatar as a rich country supports terrorism and is soft against Iran's policy, which is the enemy of Saudi Arabia. Qatar firmly denies all of the allegations. After nearly 1 month, Qatar has not responded to the allegation and is now afraid with the boycott of Saudi Arabia and its allies. The four Gulf states have taken some comprehensive demands. There are 13 demands filed in mid. The four Gulf states' allegations focus on Qatar are about not only funding a terrorist organization, but also detail information about Qatar-funded figures, especially opposition figures from Saudi and three other Arab countries. In addition, Saudi Arabia also asks Qatar to stop funding to media companies such as Al Jazeera, Arabi 21, and Middle East Eye. Saudi Arabia is uncomfortable with Al Jazeera broadcast content. The requested demands, which have to be fulfilled one day, are not met. So Riyadh and its allies insist to extend their boycott. Egyptian Foreign Minister Samed Soukhoury affirmed that Qatar's response to Saudi and its allies' demands are not substantial. Qatar's official response was handed over by Kuwait, acting as mediator in this conflict. Egyptian Foreign Minister Samed criticized Qatar for lack of understanding of the crucial situation faced between Qatar and the four Gulf states. Egypt is very concerned because Qatar is considered to have supported the Muslim Brotherhood movement banned in Egypt. Based on the latest developments, we can say that Saudi Arabia's effort and its three allies against Qatar have not found signs of ending soon. Kuwait, which has declared to be a mediator, must make a real effort to intermediate the conflict between Qatar and the four Gulf states as the neighboring countries. Listener, that was commentary presented by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on July 7, 1937, Marco Polo Bridge incident initiated the beginning of Sino-Japan War II. The Marco Polo Bridge incident is also called a battle between the Republic of China and the Japanese Empire, marking the start of the Sino-Japanese War II. The war, which was occurred on July 7, 1937, to September 9, 1945, was a major war between China and Japan before and during World War II. The Sino-Japan War II was the greatest Asian war of the 20th century, resulting from a decade-old Japanese imperialist policy. Japan intends to dominate China politically and militarily to safeguard China's vast reserve of raw materials and natural resources. On July 7, 1976, Gustav Walter Hahnemann passed away. Gustav Walter Hahnemann is a former federal president of West Germany during 1969 to 1974 period. He died on July 7, 1976. Hahnemann was born in 1899 and he has been active in various political parties since he was young. Between 1945 and 1949, Hahnemann was appointed as a mayor of Essen, and in 1949 he was appointed as interior minister to the federal government. Hahnemann's political career continued to rise until he was appointed as president in 1969. During his tenure, Hahnemann supported the Eastern policy run by the then West German Chancellor Willy Brandt, which was aimed to improve relations between West Germany and East Germany, as well as other communist countries in Europe and the Soviets. The last event, which occurred on July 7, 1978, the independence of Solomon Islands. The Solomon Islands is located in eastern Papua New Guinea, achieved their independence on July 7, 1978. The archipelago has inhabited for 1,000 years BC, and the Europeans were firstly set foot on the Solomon Islands in 1567. In 1885, Germany claimed the Solomon Islands as its colony. But a decade later, the British occupied the archipelago and made it a protectorate. After the World War II, the people of Solomon rose to fight for independence until finally independence on July 7, 1978. Residents of Solomon are majority derived from ethnic Melanesians. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News Tin Reed. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the government of Indonesia and Turkey have agreed on trade deal. Plenary sessions of Indonesian House of Representatives (TVR) approved 7 names for chairman and members of Indonesian Financial Service Authority (OJK) in Jakarta on Thursday, July 6. Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sport has finished running selections of the flag-hoisting team to serve during the Independence Day on August 17, 2017. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono said that Thursday that the relocations of the Indonesian capital city might need 4 to 5 years to prepare, particularly the constructions of city infrastructure. The export value of North Sumatra's fatty products as well as animal and vegetable oils rose to 1,563 million, increase of 35.47% as per May 2017. Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika has supported the development plan of post-harvest paddy in a modern way by using Satake Japan technology to process grain. The last item, Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry in charge of infrastructure development has slashed 517.7 billion rupiah from the total of 104.69 trillion rupiah in the original 2017 state budget. Listener, that was News in Brief of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the Sangkore Festival from Bengkulu. Stay tuned. Listener, for Muslims in Indonesia, Idul Fitri is a moment to reunite with family, especially those who live far from family. People usually prepare for going home to their homes respectively. After Idul Fitri prayer, people usually take mutual forgiving and get together or reunite for forgiveness to the home of family and other relatives. Unlike the community in general, people at Nasal Subdistrict, Kauritansi, Bengkulu Province, after Eid prayer, usually hold Sangkore Festival. Listener, after Idul Fitri prayer, hundreds of children, ladies and mothers march alongside several people who the whole body and face are covered with fibers and pandanus mats. By accompanying dangdut music, they go around the village. This is the atmosphere of Sangkore Festival in Nasal Subdistrict, Kau Regency, Bengkulu Province. The festival has actually existed since hundreds of years ago and only done on the first day of Idul Fitri as a form of people's entertainment. Sangkore is actually a person who the whole body covered with fibers and pandanus mats. They are paraded around the village as well as doing reunite. Initially, they go around kendang or drum music accompaniment, but because of the rapid development of dangdut music in the local area, Sangkore music accompaniment was replaced with dangdut music. While walking and dancing along with the local residents, Sangkore entering the houses of residents to reunite. The residents then followed behind. The materials which are used to make the sangkore are pandanus mat, iron fiber, wood charcoal for painting and other accessories. In the past of the local community used the roots to cover sangkore's body. In Kau Regency, the Sangkore Festival itself is only conducted in three villages in Nasal Subdistrict, Tanjung Betua Village, Menung Building, and Ulak Pandan. Sangkore Festival is a means of people's entertainment and the arena of reunite of the local community. listener. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sengkore Festival in Bengkulu. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, Verity World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, it's nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Listener, petroleum availability is predicted to run out in the next decade. But Indonesia's dependence on petroleum for power generation is still very high. This condition is triggering the Indonesian people to look for alternative materials to keep being capable of providing the required energy supply. One of them is by utilizing solar energy. Related to this, Ms. Leni will discuss source of renewable electrical energy from clay. Indonesia is a country in the equatorial region that gets sunshines all year long. There are two general ways in utilizing the solar energy. First is using solar thermal and second is photovoltaic cells. In first way, solar thermal is collected by using a mirror to heat water, which is placed in a boiler. Then the steam which has been already producing is used to rotate the turbines and generators. In second way, solar thermal is directly changed into electrical energy by using photovoltaic cells or sunlight cells. From these ways, one student of Taruna Nusantara Magelang High School, Central Java, Bagas Pramana Putra, who is in 12th grade now, chooses photovoltaic system to be applied in his invention, Genteng Triko. However, it is not cheap to convert sunlight into electrical energy because the price of solar panels is still expensive. That's why Bagas chooses clay as the solar panels. Why? Bagas views that the clay as his main material is very abundant in Indonesia. Besides being cheap and easy to obtain, clay is absorbent, like a sponge that can hold something stronger than other. Baga said that the initial idea to make Genteng Triko was inspired from his experience as a child played with toy cars which used batteries to generate the toy cars. If the batteries are off, they are dried under the sun. After that, the batteries can function again. When Baga got new knowledge about utilization of sunlight as a source of electrical energy by using solar panels, he argues that the sunlight would undermine those expensive solar panels. Bagas is challenged to create solar cells that are suitable with the conditions in Indonesia, where the price is cheaper and can be made domestically. Based on his research, he used clay, sea sand, and sea water. Those materials are mixed according to the proportions and then form precarious boxes measuring 10 times 27 centimeters, totaling 4 pieces, and measures 10 times 14 centimeters, totaling 8 pieces. And it is filled with magnesium and copper cells in the form of slabs. Then the tiles are arranged resembling the solar panels and dried under the sun. Beneath the tiles, they are given a reflector of aluminum foil, and above positions, they are covered with acrylic to avoid the rain. The result shows Genteng Trico, as this power plant costs only $2 to generate electricity by 1 watt. While solar panels cost almost $10 to generate electricity by 1 watt. Bagas proposes a requirement in his invention, Genteng Trico, is used by the public. They have to keep the forest. Bagas perceives that the availability of clay is also influenced by the existence of the forest. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Genteng Trico for today. We meet again with another edition of Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Anis, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduce you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. To initiate our today's music corner, let's listen to the Indonesian Islamic song locally known as Qasidah, performed by the Indonesian popular pop dangdut singer Cici Paramida, entitled Salawat Nabi. Not many singers in Indonesia are able to perform Qasidah song, and Cici Paramida is one of the very few singers who's able to sing this type of song perfectly. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Cici Paramida. Happy listening!
lama-lama aku diambil orang. Jangan tunggu lama-lama, nanti lama-lama aku diambil orang.
Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Salawat Nabi by Cici Paramida. Cici grew up listening to her mother to sing Qasidah songs and joined Qasidah group and mastered the genre. After mastering Qasidah, Cici then switched to try another genre, namely Dangdut, and she mastered it fast. Cici said there are similarities between Qasidah and Dangdut. In Indonesia, there are many Qasidah groups and singers, but they are never as popular as Dangdut singers or groups. Cici Paramida officially debuted in 1993, and she still actively sings Dangdut songs until now. Listeners, let's listen to another song by Cici Paramida entitled
RT5 RW3 sepuluh nomor rumahku.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia, in a segment of Music Corner, and we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Cici Paramida. Her existence in Indonesian music scene is acknowledged by the Indonesia Dangdut Lovers after releasing 10 albums throughout her career. Among the songs she sang, there is one special song composed by Guru Soekarno Putra, the son of Indonesian first president Soekarno. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Cici Paramida entitled Wulan Merindu. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RW 3 10 nomor rumah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10011 Indonesia, and join us on Facebook Voice of Indonesia and Twitter VOI Indonesia.